Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Biweekly Report. I'm Phil Adler. The war in Iran is an event that is likely to change for the long term the way corporations manage their supply inventories. Think high instead of just in time. Confluence Chief Market Strategist Patrick Fearon-Hernandez joins us today to discuss why this matters a lot for investors. Patrick, corporations have been keeping their inventories at minimum levels for quite a while now. How long exactly?
Really, Phil, this has been a multi-decade phenomenon. If you look at the data on U.S. private sector inventories relative to gross domestic product, or GDP, the peak occurred right around World War II and the Korean War. From the mid-1950s onward, the long-term trend has been decisively downward. The most dramatic shift came starting in the early 1980s. That's when inflation collapsed under the Volcker Federal Reserve, transportation costs fell, information technology advanced rapidly, and corporate management embraced precision logistics. Over the following 40-plus years, inventory-to-sales ratios steadily declined, reaching historically low levels just before the pandemic. So when we talk about minimum inventories, we're really talking about a business mindset that was building for two generations.
Let's dig a little bit deeper into this. What economic conditions encourage this behavior?
Well, several forces work together. First and most importantly, falling inflation. So when prices are stable or declining, there's no urgency to stockpile physical goods. Holding inventory becomes a cost rather than a hedge. Second, globalization dramatically lengthened supply chains while simultaneously making them more reliable. Companies could source inputs from anywhere in the world with confidence that transportation networks would function smoothly. Third, advances in information technology, such as enterprise software, real-time sales tracking, and logistics optimization, allowed firms to calibrate production almost perfectly to demand. And then finally, there was a geopolitical assumption underpinning all of this, the idea that the post-Cold War world would remain broadly peaceful and integrated indefinitely. That assumption is now being challenged in a very serious way.
And how do corporations, as a result of this war, likely now view economic conditions going forward?
Well, the key shift is from confidence to uncertainty. Corporations are increasingly forced to accept that geopolitical instability is not temporary noise. It's a structural condition now. The Iran conflict, particularly because of its implications for energy markets, shipping lanes, and diplomatic alignments, reinforces the idea that supply disruptions and price shocks are not rare events anymore. They're recurring risks. As a result, corporate planners are now no longer optimizing solely for efficiency. They're optimizing for resilience, and that changes a lot of fundamental decisions.
And why does this encourage inventory building?
Well, because inventories are basically insurance. When companies expect intermittent shortages, volatile prices, and sudden delivery delays, holding extra inventory becomes a rational defensive strategy. It smooths production, protects margins, and preserves customer relationships. In a world of geopolitical fragmentation and unstable commodity flows, just-in-time systems look fragile. High inventories may reduce efficiency, but they dramatically reduce operational risk, and that trade-off suddenly looks worthwhile.
Patrick, you mentioned in your report that the last time corporations engaged in inventory building was in the early 2000s. Why is the Iran war likely to generate a much longer-lasting build than was the case then?
The early 2000s episode was driven largely by a temporary commodity price surge, especially around China's entry into the global trading system. But the broader geopolitical framework, so U.S. hegemony, expanding globalization, relative peace, all that remained intact. Now, today, that framework is breaking down. The Iran war is not an isolated event. It's part of a broader transition to a more fragmented, contested global order. Corporations are recognizing that this isn't a cycle, it's regime change. And regime changes produce persistent behavioral shifts. That's why we believe this inventory rebuild could last many years, possibly decades.
And will this strategy change be implemented mostly by U.S. corporations, or will it be worldwide?
It will absolutely be global. The forces driving this, so geopolitics, energy security, supply chain fragility, don't respect borders. Multinational firms face these risks regardless of where they're headquartered. That said, the U.S. may be particularly well-positioned because of its domestic energy production, agricultural capacity, and capital markets. So while the strategy will be global, the benefits may be unevenly distributed.
Patrick, how do economists measure whether inventory building is actually happening?
Well, economists typically look at the inventory-to-sales ratios, both in nominal and inflation-adjusted terms. These data are published by agencies like the U.S. Census Bureau and can be broken down by sector. We also examine inventories as a share of GDP, which helps normalize for economic growth and inflation. Sustained increases in these ratios, especially during expansions, are strong evidence of intentional inventory accumulation rather than cyclical noise.
The term U.S. corporations, that covers a very broad range. Which sectors seem likely to be leaders in this move toward higher inventories?
Well, it's manufacturers, without question. Manufacturing firms face the greatest exposure to input shortages, component delays, and commodity price swings. The data show that prior increases in inventory ratios have been driven almost entirely by manufacturing stockpiles, not by wholesalers or retailers. Going forward, we expect factory-level inventory accumulation to lead the overall trend.
Patrick, a point that stood out to me in your report, you mentioned that foreign companies, because of this change, might be more encouraged now to consider moving their production to the United States. Why?
Well, because the U.S. offers a unique combination of energy security, political stability, deep capital markets, and legal predictability. If companies are going to hold more inventory, they want to do so where supply disruptions are least likely and where storage, financing, and transportation are reliable. For many firms, that increasingly points to the U.S. This dynamic could drive meaningful reindustrialization and increased investment in U.S. manufacturing infrastructure.
Well, we acknowledge that inflation encourages higher inventories, but will higher inventories in turn encourage inflation, adding fuel to prices that have already been rising?
Yes, to some extent. High inventories are inherently less efficient. They tie up capital, increase storage costs, and reduce productivity, all of which can put upward pressure on prices. More importantly, the same forces driving inventory accumulation, so geopolitical conflict, commodity volatility, and supply fragmentation, also tend to generate more volatile inflation. So while inventories alone aren't the cause, they're part of a broader inflationary environment.
Well, how will all this be reflected in stock prices?
Well, investors are likely to reward companies that manage this transition well. Firms that can hold higher inventories while controlling costs, maintaining margins, and avoiding waste should command premium valuations. At the same time, sectors tied to warehousing, logistics, energy, and domestic manufacturing may benefit structurally. The market isn't just pricing earnings anymore, it's pricing resilience.
Is some of this anticipated change in inventory management already built into asset allocation recommendations at Confluence Investment Management?
Yes, it is. Our asset allocation framework already reflects expectations for higher inflation volatility, structurally higher interest rates, and increased demand for real assets. We've been positioning portfolios with an awareness that the global economy is becoming less efficient but more redundancy-driven. Inventory behavior fits squarely within that view.
Are there further Confluence strategy changes tied to corporate inventories that you can identify now as we move ahead?
Well, at this stage, the biggest implication is continued emphasis on sectors and assets that benefit from reindustrialization, infrastructure investment, and tangible capital formation. We're also paying close attention to how inventory trends interact with monetary policy, profit margins, and global trade flows. As these dynamics become clearer, we'll adjust strategy accordingly, but the broad direction is already evident.
Thank you, Patrick. The title of this week's report is Wars, Price Shocks, and Inventories, and you can find a link to the written report dated April 13, 2026 on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. Also, this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.